take Johnny Ballpark Franks on the go by downloading the WNSR app. Search your app store for Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Time to visit with a Hall of Famer. Not once, not twice, not three times, four-time Sports Writer of the Year, and just all-around great person, Teresa Walker with the Associated Press here in Nashville. And Teresa, it seems like we have this conversation every 3 years. Time to hire a new head football coach over in Knoxville.
And this time around, also an athletic director which will be hired first, as opposed to the last time when they had an athletic director. He thought he had a coach. That fell through. He thought he had another coach. And then suddenly he doesn't have a job. He's suspended. And, Phil Fulmer is the new AD, and he hired the coach. So that didn't work very well, did it, for Tennessee people. So, Tennessee is starting over yet again, as I wrote yesterday. And, I mean, it's impossible to see that Tennessee just keeps digging themselves deeper. And it's like, at some point, don't you have to accidentally hire a good coach and, you know, and a talented athletic director if only by chance? I mean, you know, I think they're now going to, you know, because you had Dave Hart, then you had John Curry for only a few months, not even really a year. And then, you know, Philip Fulmer. And, you know, before Dave Hart, you know, you had Joan Cronin, who was, you know, kind of the, you know, an interim AD for a while. And before that, Mike Hamilton. I mean, it's just, and then, you know, the coaches, you know, after Fulmer, you know, was forced out, then you had Kiffin, Derek Dooley, Butch Jones, Jeremy Pruitt. This is going to be the fifth different coach that they have hired, you know, since Fulmer won the SEC East last in 2007. I mean, it's just, and I'll admit, I lost track yesterday. It's like they keep piling up at this point. And the only thing that's piling up worse is their losses in the SEC and, you know, the margins by which they lose those games. So it was a very interesting day yesterday. Johnny, I mean, we kind of expected this, right? I had prep on Jeremy Pruitt being fired for, you know, shoot, I wrote it before the Vanderbilt game. And, you know, and then yet it just kind of kept waiting. We felt like it was waiting for that shoe to drop. And, boy, Donnie Plowman and Tennessee dropped a box of shoes yesterday. You know, not just Jeremy Pruitt out, but two of his assistants and seven other people on staff, a total of 10 people out the door. And, you know, and she described stunning, shocking level one, level two violations, and the NCAA is already on it. I mean, this is, for the people who think this was just to get him out and avoid the buyout, Lordy, just the publicity alone, you know, it might have been worth the $16 million or what, 12 point whatever, total of $18.6 million or so for the whole coaching staff, just to avoid that and now the NCAA cloud that is over this program. Because, you know, they've been over there, you know, opened a case in December. They got their first, you know, Tennessee Plowman's office got the first tip November 13th, and the NCAA is on it. You know, the investigators really picked up here in the last 10 days. So, you know, whoever you end up hiring has got to deal with quite a mess, not to mention 19 players have left. You know, one of the schools got maybe the most players in a transfer portal, and you got to salvage a signing day in 2 weeks. And, I mean, it's just a flat mess. We thought the dumpster fire search of 2017 was a low. Get ready.
But, see, I think it gets worse because the fact that what they're doing with Jeremy Pruitt, Jeremy Pruitt knows other things, by the way. And, you know, that's why when you see programs cut ties with a coach, even if they are there's cause or whatever, you know, they still end up getting money. And it's to keep – they're buying the silence part. Now, Jeremy Pruitt's not going to get a head coaching job anytime soon. And so because of that, it's like, boy, you think it's bad now. I don't know if we've seen the bottom yet on how bad this could get just because of all of a sudden the lips start flapping and there's more information that's out there.
Oh, absolutely. And he's already retained an attorney who's made it very clear that they are not happy whatsoever, that they think this was orchestrated simply to avoid his buyout. And this is a gentleman who has represented other coaches. You know, he's kind of seen as a firebrand kind of attorney. And shoot, you read his statement last night. You know, he made it very clear. Pruitt was extremely disappointed and, you know, thought that this was all managed and orchestrated to, you know, with one end, and that was to get rid of Pruitt and avoid that buyout. So, you know, Tennessee better have the evidence. And, you know, from Plowman yesterday, you know, they met with the attorneys on Friday, attorneys that, you know, were costing about $1,000 an hour between the two of them, hired, you know, they sent the engagement letter to that law firm November 19th. So, you know, they have something. Now, you know, and the attorneys that were hired, you know, because they're really good at protecting universities and colleges, not coaches. So, you know, you would got to think that they have got a paper trail here, that they have built their case to do what they did. And, you know, I know that the statement from the Pruitt's attorney said that, you know, Plowman didn't even read, you know, Pruitt's interview last week. Well, that's not a whole lot, Johnny. I mean, I'm sorry. If Tennessee has the paperwork and the documentation to back up her comments yesterday, then, you know, he's going to have to fight real hard to get some money out of this. You know, and he does know some things. And, you know, that's where, you know, we'll see if this ends up getting most likely settled to avoid going to court and, you know, opening up things. But, this is a dark day. And then Philip Fulmer, in the midst when they're talking about recruiting violations, level right. one, level twos, says that it's in a good shape. And I'm like, I wasn't the only one listening to that and saying,
well, remember,
what?
He compared Jeremy Pruitt to Johnny Majors back during the middle of the season. And, oh, by the way, all the glowing things about when Tennessee got the Liberty Bowl nod as well. And, by the way, I don't know about your sources. There's nothing about Phil Fulmer just deciding to retire just like that. You know, everything I've been certainly been told, forced to retire. And I always thought all along Jeremy Pruitt and Philip Fulmer were attached as far as when one goes, both goes anyway.
Well, kind of had to, right? I mean, you know, Fulmer was hired and he hires Jeremy Pruitt, a coach with a good resume but had not been a head coach. Okay, I don't care how many national titles you help win as an assistant or a defensive coordinator. It's not the same thing as running a whole program, particularly in the Power Five, you know, where and in the SEC. And so, you know, that's the thing. It's like, could Tennessee trust Phil Fulmer to make that hire again?
But did he technically hire him? Did he really hire him though, or? I mean, because, you know as well as I do with all the rich boosters behind the scenes that like to have the fingers in the cookie jar, you know, no one's just going to allow just one person to make this decision.
No matter who signed off or said this is the guy to hire, Philip Fulmer's name is the one on the deal. You know, he was the one who, you know, was at the news conference. He was the
right.
one who, as you mentioned, not only called him Johnny Majors, gave him a contract extension in September.
Why were you in a big hurry? Why were you even thinking? Why were you, there was no rush? It wasn't like people were going to be beating down the doors trying to hire Jeremy Pruitt.
Oh, but come on, Johnny. We know what that was. You know, Philip Fulmer's age is when a coach won a bowl game, you get a pay raise and a contract
yep.
extension. That's how it was done. Unfortunately, you know, and when they started talking about this in February, and Fulmer said these talks began in February, well, the problem is in March, we kind of knew that we were in unprecedented times. And by June, you know, we knew that they were going to be facing some issues. So, and this, you know, nice thing is delayed the pay raise till next year. Well, that was a really nice thing. But, you know, maybe they should have put the whole thing on ice and said, you know, we'll revisit this after a year. Instead, they went ahead, signed the paperwork. It, you know, came out late September. It made no sense then. Makes less sense today.
Well, what makes less sense for me is the fact that you throw out Derek Dooley, then Butch Jones, then Jeremy Pruitt. No experience as a head coach for a Power 5 conference with those names, right? You've got a Tennessee team, number 10, most wins ever in college football history, right? You have a rich tradition. Now, as I was saying at last hour, most folks in high school don't understand what I'm talking about. I get that. But the bottom line is that's what Tennessee was for the first 150 years. And my point is, if you're that, if you have that great tradition, you've got that stadium, you've got that fan base, why are you messing around hiring Group of Five head coaches anyway? Go out and get somebody with Power Five coaching experience as far as a head coach is concerned.
I completely agree. I mean, and that's the thing. Has it been that Tennessee was just too cheap and didn't want to spend in it? Or because of the situations they, you know, Butch Jones should have been fired in October, the year that he was finally let go. And, you know, that was part of the problem there. You know, John Curry had been on the job for a few months, and, you know, I don't know why, but, you know, we all knew in Tennessee that, you know, that season was going to be a decider for Butch Jones. And after the loss to Georgia in October, you know, he should have been. We were all expecting him to be fired by 5 o'clock the next day, and it didn't
right.
happen. So, you know, and then before, you know, he wanted Dan Mullen allegedly. Well, then, you know, if he had moved quickly, you could have had Dan Mullen signed up before he goes to Florida. And then, you know, and then Tennessee ended up in that search, you know, that, you know, there was the Greg Schiano mess, and, you know, you can have your opinions on, you know, how much Tennessee bent to the fan, you know, furor on Twitter that day. But, you know, the fact of the matter is they went from talking to Greg Schiano and having him ready to come to Dave Doering, to Mike Leach, talk about dodging another bullet there. I mean, it was just the names that they were talking to just don't make sense. You know, yes, I understand you want an up-and-coming coach, but Tennessee is at a point where you kind of need somebody to get it back on the road.
Right.
And, you know, coach, you know, getting players there has not been a problem. Butch Jones was able to recruit. You know, Jeremy Pruitt was able to recruit. You should be able to hire people who can recruit, okay, even if the head coach doesn't. And hire somebody who can actually coach. You know, that's been the biggest issue. You know, the gap that Jeremy Pruitt was talking about after the Alabama game, it's like, I'm sorry, it's just getting bigger between Tennessee and the rest of the SEC. The only school that Tennessee has not, you know, has managed to close the gap with is Vanderbilt at this point. And Clark Lee is now on the job on West End, and he's going to have a chance to, you know, make his way into this rivalry. But, you know, right now, you know, you've got Kentucky feeling really, really good about where they are in the SEC East because they keep finishing ahead of Tennessee. That says as much about where Tennessee is. And you mentioned 10th all-time win. That's despite how bad this program has been over the last 12 years.
That's why I threw out earlier, you know, here's one thing Tennessee can't do. They can't beat Alabama, can't beat Georgia, can't beat Florida in the last 3 years. But, you know, somebody who was able to beat Alabama was Gus Malzahn. He needs a job. I mean, so I'm pretty sure right now Tennessee fans would love 8 or 9 wins a year. They'd be quite happy with that based on where they stand. But we'll get more into this conversation. Before we let you go, Teresa, remind everybody the best ways to keep up with your coverage.
Like my page on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter. Do both at Teresa M. Walker.
Take a breath because there'll be another busy day again tomorrow, I'm sure.
You know it. Thank you, Danny.
Have a great week.